Faithful God, you caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Enable us to read, note, learn, and inwardly digest them, so that encouraged and supported by your word, we may embrace and always hold firmly on to the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, Cass.
Good morning. So the first reading is Psalm 22 on the back of the handout. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you.
Second reading is from Mark chapter 15, verses 21 to 41 on the inside of your handout. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place they call Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see which each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him up and cared for his needs. Many other women who had also come up with him to Jerusalem were there.
Well, as Andrew said, we're hearing Jesus' last words over this Easter weekend to really reflect on the significance of them for us and for the world. So let's pray that we'd hear God speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for sending your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we praise you for saving us through your death on the cross. Holy Spirit, help our souls to hear Jesus' last words. And if we need those words to be words of comfort, let us hear those. If they need to be words of challenge, enable us to hear them. But most of all, Lord, by your Spirit, bring about the change in us that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. God, why have you forgotten me? God, why have you abandoned me? You may not have ever sort of called out to God. Maybe you have, but probably more of us in our hearts, our souls, have experienced that doubt, anguish, frustration, despair of feeling forgotten by God or just abandoned to whatever bad thing is happening. In our culture, we prioritize being healthy, wealthy, and happy. Forget wisdom. Who needs that anymore? We want to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. And it's when those things don't happen or they're disrupted or they're taken from us as followers of Jesus that we can feel forgotten or abandoned by God. I mean, when our health is at stake, whether it be illness or injury, or maybe it's even people that we really love and they have been affected in that way. Particularly anything that's long term, you can feel forgotten by God. When it comes to wealth, it's not just about being rich. It can be significant things like losing a job or lacking the finances just to make ends meet, particularly these days with the cost of living for many people that just feels like the vice is just getting tighter and tighter. And you just wonder, where is God for me in this? And finally, being happy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy in life. It's a good thing. And then things come along like depression, particularly serious and chronic depression, or even death. And they just steal happiness away. And sometimes it can feel like you don't even know when that's going to come back. All of these can leave you feeling, maybe even saying, God, where are you? Have you forgotten that I exist? Why? Why do you seem to have abandoned me to these circumstances? Well, the answer to that question that we are asking so deeply is this. Jesus was forsaken so we can be forgiven and live forever. That is the answer that we are hearing today from Jesus' last words. It's what we're going to be thinking about for the next couple of minutes. So let's begin with the fact that Jesus was forsaken. As we heard in our reading, and you can read it there in Mark 15, "My God, Elohim, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus says. It's quite dark and confusing that Jesus would be saying these things. How can Jesus be saying this on the cross? Maybe you've never read an account of Jesus' life, but even if you have, just imagine for a moment that you never have, and you're reading through and you're just being amazed by Jesus, and he seems towards the end to have such conviction about this is where I've got to go, and now all of a sudden he's saying on the cross, why? I don't know about you, but I would have been looking for some brave words at that point. Others have done it, like General Sedgwick in 1864, when his men were hiding from enemy gunfire. He stood tall and said, "They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance." And they were his last words. Or Erskine Childers in 1922, whose last words before a firing squad were these, "Take a step forward, lads. It'll be easier that way." That seems such bravery at that point, doesn't it? Where is Jesus' courage? Where is Jesus' conviction? I think one of the key things that we're meant to see at this point is that Jesus is very human. He is fully human. Yes, he is fully God, the Son of God. But being human is not just a pretend thing. It's not just a skin he's put on. No, he is very human. And he is very real about what has been taking place and what is happening to him as he hangs on that cross. In the lead up to this moment, Jesus has been forsaken by the religious leaders of Israel, the very own people of God that he belongs to, have put him on trial. And it's a kangaroo court, as we would say. It's just such a farce. They know the outcome. It's all about calling for his death sentence. He's then forsaken by the crowd who just less than a week ago, as he rode into Jerusalem, are singing his praises, going, "You're the King of Kings, you're the best." And then a few days later, when given the choice, they call for Barabbas to be freed, who is a murderer, instead of Jesus, who has consistently given life to people. He's forsaken by the soldiers, who, when he's handed over to them, Jesus, they put a crown of thorns on his head in bitter mockery. They robe him in pretend, and then they spit on him, they beat him, they whip him. And he's forsaken when he is crucified, nailed to the cross, and then lifted up in front of everybody. The whole point of the crucifixion being that you will try to stay alive, but you've got to hold yourself up. And so in the end, it will be suffocation. But the greatest agony, the greatest moment of being forsaken is when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And look, if we know Jesus, it really doesn't make sense. If we know what a good man Jesus was, the good that he did for others, the way that actually he did trust God, love God, serve God, it's very easy to understand why. It's important to understand what forsaken means, particularly in Jesus' words here. When Jesus is saying he's forsaken, he's saying, not only did his heavenly Father not protect him, in a sense he withdrew his hand of protection, but he also poured out his anger that we deserve And it was all poured out on Jesus. What makes this so terrible is that Jesus, up until this point in time, as the Son, has only ever known perfect, loving relationship with his Father. They have been God from eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's never been an angry word. There's never even been a harsh look. But here on this cross, he takes the anger that God has for a world that's rejected him and rebelled against him. We should have been forsaken. That's how serious God takes sin. It's not something to be swept under the rug. And this was all God's plan. Jesus was forsaken, so we aren't, by God. And we know this from Psalm 22 that we had read for us. And you can follow along on the back there. Now, one of the good things to know is when Jews quoted the first line of a psalm or even another line, they're not just talking about that one particular line. They're saying, think about this whole psalm. Many Jews, certainly the males, knew the psalms. They had them memorized. So it's a quick way of saying, hey, I'm talking about Psalm 22. And that's what Jesus is doing on the cross. And we see this is God's plan because, having been written hundreds of years before, the psalmist knows Jesus' words. And in verse 7, all those who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. That's exactly what the crowd did, the religious leaders. Remember in the reading, you know, if you are really the Son of God, get down. Save yourself if you're so powerful. Verse 16, they pierce my hands and my feet. This was the plan. Verse 18, they divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. The soldiers did exactly that. Can it get any worse than you dying on a cross and looking down and seeing the last of your possessions being divvied up by your executioners? Jesus was forsaken, so we don't have to be. Cursed by God was a way that people talked about Walter Summerford. And that's because of a series of events that happened to him. You see, in World War I, Walter was actually an officer and he was on his horse leading his men into battle when he was struck by lightning and paralyzed. 6 years later, he was fishing on the dock when he was struck by lightning again. This time it actually helped him to be able to walk somewhat, so that 6 years later, when he was walking in the woods, he was struck again by lightning. This time so debilitated it wasn't long until he passed away. So that 6 years later, his gravestone was struck by lightning and shattered. He wasn't cursed by God, but Jesus was. He didn't deserve it. He took our curse. He took our forsakenness that we deserve so that we never have to be. And you know what was also part of God's plan was his rescue. Because Psalm 22 ends with the speaker saying, I'm not abandoned. And so we read in verse 24, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. See, the Father didn't turn his face away as the song talks about. And sometimes we'll talk about, oh, no, when Jesus says he was forsaken, he was separated from God. No, you can't pull God apart and put him back together like that. No, to be forsaken is the Father was looking at his Son that he loved and he poured out his anger. He was forsaken. And Jesus went through it all so that we can be forgiven. So you and I can actually be forgiven by God. It's worth asking on Good Friday, if you were to stand before God today, what would God's verdict be on you and your life? What would be your words? Elvis's last words at his last concert in 1977 were, "I hope I haven't bored you." What is that? Thankfully, we have Jesus' last words in John. John 19, verse 30, Jesus says on the cross, "It is finished." It is finished. Jesus went through hell so we don't have to go there. And he is saying it is paid in full. Nothing more we need to do. And let's face it, frankly, compared to that, there's nothing more we could do. Because you see, forgiveness costs. Forgiveness, true, real forgiveness is never free. It's never cheap. It's about bearing that cost. It's actually saying, I will take the cost for the one that hurt me. I won't hurt them back. For the one who took from me, I won't demand repayment. I will bear the cost. Ross and Frances Dunn, their 21-year-old daughter, Clea Rose, was killed in 2005. After being struck by a stolen car driven by a 14-year-old boy. How did they respond? Well as meeting with him to offer their forgiveness, they raised money for him. They helped him finish school. They helped him to get an apprenticeship. And when he left prison, they helped him to get a place. That's costly forgiveness. And when Jesus says, it is finished, he is saying, I have paid the full cost. That's why it's so incredible to know we don't have a debt with God when we put our trust in Jesus. There's nothing we owe. So if you and I trust in Jesus being forsaken for our forgiveness, we can live forever. You see, this is not just, oh, isn't that nice we got forgiven for a day? No, what Jesus has achieved means that we can live forever with God. And we know this is true. We know he's paid it in full, not just because he said it's finished, but because he rose from the dead. Jumping a little bit ahead to Sunday, in Mark chapter 16. The angels are in the tomb with Jesus, like tour guides when the ladies turn up. And they say this, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. Yes, that happened. He has risen. He's not here. He doesn't belong among the dead. He is risen from the dead. The debt has been fully paid." And so for those of us who have our trust in Jesus, in those moments when you're feeling forgotten or abandoned, because they still happen, especially when life is tough, when our health or our wealth or our happiness has been ripped away, today, we're Burren Reimann why this is called Good Friday. Because it reminds us that actually we can never be forgotten. And we will never be abandoned by God. Not for forever. And we need to tell ourselves and we need to tell one another, you cannot be forgotten or abandoned by God. You will not. But it's also a reminder to us, even as we struggle or look to being healthy, wealthy, and happy, that in the end, God is so much, something so much greater for us. Jesus was forgiven, forsaken, so we can be forgiven and live forever. And that will make being healthy, wealthy, and happy in this life look like nothing. So what's your response to Jesus' last words today? Perhaps you've never responded before. Perhaps today they've hit you in a way they haven't before. Maybe you're like the centurion who had that front row seat to Jesus' death on the cross, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." If that's you, I want to encourage you, connect with us through that connect card, QR codes on the back of the sermon outline. We'd love to talk with you if you've got any questions or you want to chat about this further. But today, this Good Friday, each of us is being reminded we can trust Jesus with whatever is going on in our life now and for eternity, because Jesus was forsaken so we can be forgiven and live forever. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus was willing to be forsaken for us. Help each of us to know the forgiveness that Jesus paid for, has been paid in full, that we wouldn't doubt the forgiveness and we wouldn't try to add to it in any way. Help us to trust that Jesus' forgiveness means we can be right with you and live with you forever. And when we're feeling forgotten or abandoned, we'll remember what Jesus did on Good Friday and know you'll never, ever forget us or abandon us. In Jesus' name, amen.